Welcome to the Lovejoy Hour, sponsored by Cooker, 100 degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. I love my tap and you would love one too. If you can afford it, I would say go for it. Go to cooker.co.uk for more details. This week's hour is a Monday, Mark. Oh, we're seeing Mark on a Monday. During this podcast, I will probably be giving out advice, but I'm not a doctor or a shrink. In fact, I'm not qualified at anything. So if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which, as we all know, is a horrible idea.
It's terrible. It's horrible.
There's Mark's voice right there. How are you, Mark?
Hey, Tim. How you doing, man? All good?
I was thinking about you this morning because...
Oh, Christ, why?
Well, yesterday I went out and I had a wisdom tooth out, which I'll tell you about in a minute, but...
So I'm sort of a painful thing you're trying to remove from yourself?
No, I realised The weather was autumn. It just changed, didn't it? This beginning of this week, it was like it went from summer, the last bits of summer, to autumn. And it feels a bit, there's a chill in the air. I was even contemplating putting the heating on yesterday.
And you're thinking, Mark's going to be so happy about this.
Because you love autumn. You love autumn and winter. And I do, actually. I think autumn is one of my... I like all the seasons, but I do like the change in seasons. Yeah. So it's coming to autumn. Yeah, I had my wisdom tooth out yesterday. And it was so bizarre because I've had three out before and I've got one left in. And my dentist...
Is that why the podcast is slowly going downhill?
Exactly right. So the other ones I had out when I was a kid, right? I was in early teen. I was a teenager or something. And so I've got my older dentist retired during lockdown. But he had inherited my wisdom tooth from previous dentists. And it's always it's always just sat there. And then this new dentist went, we should get rid of that tooth because it looks like it's slightly decayed or something. Let's get rid of it. And so I sat with him yesterday just before he said, I'm going to take it out. And I said, why have I got one wisdom tooth left? And he said, I don't know. I've not been your dentist for very long. I thought that's a really good point. Anyway, they put loads of drugs in me and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was only like a paracetamol type drugs. And it really hasn't hurt that much, if I'm honest with you. It's hard for me to open my mouth. My tongue's a bit sore.
Oh, man, I've had some serious dental work. And I texted yesterday saying that my tip is for food, drink tin soup from the can, and for the pain, paracetamol and whiskey by the gallon.
I did have soup last night. But the thing is, right, I woke up in the middle of the night and it's just this really weird thing. He said this might happen. Is, you know, if you've got a tight shoe and you take it off, it's like, oh, that feels great. Yeah. My mouth, where it's gone, it feels like it just feels really nice. Yeah. Like that tooth should never have been there. Like it was stuck in.
Yeah.
I wish I'd had it done years ago. Anyway, I don't know why it was still there. Ridiculous. I got really worried about it though, because I had these visions of him leaning on my chest. It took about 10 seconds to get it out. It was pathetic.
I genuinely had this German dentist back in Epsom, and I had this really problematic tooth that he couldn't remove, and he genuinely put his knee on my chest and he used the palm of his hand and a chisel. And that's I'm not exaggerating. And I said, you haven't given me enough anaesthetic. And he just went, shut up.
Wow. I can't believe he used a chisel. This dentist going, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. That's in your imagination.
Fine. Yeah, no, actually, it was an acid trip dream.
How's your new podcast going? I was on it the other day.
Oh, it's really good. It's such good fun. I was going to say, actually, I saw, just for the listeners, I saw Tim for the first time since all this horribleness started.
Yeah.
Our first beer, you came and did our podcast. It's Nick Hancock and Chris England doing a football podcast. And
what's it called? So people can look it up.
It's called The Famous Sloping Pitch. It's about the fact that football is not a level playing field anymore.
Do you know what? I mean, it never has been, but they're making the point that it's even more about money these days. But the two of them are so funny. If you're a football fan, you get a chance, listen to it. It's really good.
Well, Chris has been on your podcast a couple of times, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Always, he's been on the football podcast and he's been on the actual podcast talking about. He's got this book out called Chris England on the Game, 1966 to 2018, How Football Became What It Is Today. And yeah, I've still a lot of quotes from that book because it's very good. It is very good. He's funny.
He's happy for you to plagiarise that. He's racking up a little invoice for you.
It's good to hear Nick back on. What was your guest this week? Joe Brand.
Oh, she was brilliant. She's got an amazing footballing family. Pretty much everybody in her family is some sort of how involved in football, which is, you know, she's brilliant.
And who else you got coming on? You got Badil coming on.
Badil's coming on in a couple of weeks, I think. Yeah, yeah, it's really good fun. But my point being, I saw you for the first time and I have forgotten how much fun you are to go out with.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You are, mate, you're so funny to go out with. We argued, and not just, I don't mean me and you, there was a group of us. We argued a little, pretty much about everything we could argue about. And it was just so, we went to another place and a friend of a friend turned up and she plays the flute. She's a flautist, right? And you asked her, so what do you do? I play the flute in musicals and are currently doing, I think it's Les Mis. But she was also doing, she's done The Lion King or something. And you said, well, that's a stupid instrument. And for 25 minutes, you two went at each other. Went at each other. And what was brilliant, at the end, you just went, no, fair enough, you won. And she won you over. And it was just a really, but it was never, there's never anything bad. It was just such a funny, Chris.
Well, I've got a point. Chris called you.
Chris called me the next day and said, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Someone turning up and saying, the instrument you play is stupid. 25 minute conversation about it. And at the end going, yeah, fair enough.
Well, I've got to say, the reason why I find the flute really bizarre is you can't see your hand. So it's so stupid because it's out the side of your face.
No, don't start again. Because Claire will call in.
And I always thought, what a bizarre thing to do, to have an instrument where you can actually see what you're doing with your hands. You have to guesswork. And I was saying to her, how'd you learn? By playing in the mirror and stuff like that. And she was just looking at me like I was an absolute clown, which I probably was. Anyway, but I insist, I found out lots about it, about how much those instruments cost, which is an absolute fortune, 30-odd grand for the good ones. And when she did The Lion King, she had to have loads because she had a load of wooden ones to make the noise of Africa. It was really exciting listening to it and how they can actually FaceTime during the show if they don't have too much to do. And just weird stuff. So it was a good conversation as well as a bit of an argument. But right at the end, I said, go on, play some. And she got out for me to give a go, didn't she? So yeah. I sort of tried to play it. I had my hands the wrong way around or whatever. And then I managed to get a note out of it. Not a note anyone would recognize, but a note. And then she just did, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds worth of stuff.
And it's absolutely stunning, isn't it?
Beautiful. And everyone just turned around and looked at it. It's just so lovely hearing that sound. So it was a great night out, actually, Mark. And I regretted it the next morning. I was so drunk. It took us so long to get anything to eat. And I was so drunk by the end of it. I'm just not used to drinking like that anymore. And so I'm not sure
we'll do a Rocky montage of you training back up to getting up to the drinking skills.
I can't. I just felt horrific the whole next day. And I thought, I genuinely did that I'm never drinking again thing the next morning. I've had quite a good little run of podcasts recently. I had a Joy Manning talking about whether our food is going to kill us on the other day. And there's this great bit from it where she talks about chickens. And I love this because we discuss it in the podcast. Worth listening to if you're interested about what you're eating inside you and how it's been manipulated by people, only for profit. I mean, it's not like there's evil people sitting with a cat going, we're going to kill the public. It's just like a profit thing. And I think people start to do things for the right reason. And then they end up with us having bizarre things. So there was like a competition in 1950s in America to get the fattest chicken. Anyway, since 1957, the chicken has gone from the fully grown chicken, 905 grams in 1957 to 2005, the last time they did this, to 4,202 grams. I mean, it's unbelievable because they just breed these chickens. So Joy Manning was good. And that's interesting. So the other few I've done recently have actually ended up being sort of, you know, like reflecting the news. So I had Peter Frankopan, who was talking about the new Silk Roads. He was talking about the Middle East a lot. And then straight after that's when all the Afghanistan stuff happened. I thought, God, wow.
It was so timely, that podcast.
Yeah, and it's like, because if you should listen to that one. He talks about the new Silk Roads. He talks about how from the stands down, the whole of the world lives down there. Not much of the world lives up here at all, you know. It's like the billions live in Asia and the stands down and stuff. And how that area is and it's volatile and everything else. And so, you know, follow him on Twitter as well, because he's talking quite a lot about all this sort of stuff. And then we had Will Storr on, and he talked about The Status Game, his book, which honestly, I've got to say, I mean, look, Peter Franken's book, The New Silk Road, has changed my mind about where we are standing in the world. It really did. And he started talking about things like how huge South Korean soaps are, yet we up here are just not interested.
We have no idea.
Yeah, and then they released the film Parasite. It wins an Oscar. And everyone,
Oscar, and everyone
goes, this is great. And they're like, well, we've got hundreds of these, thousands of these. And their soaps are watched by millions, if not billions of people and stuff, because there's a whole different world going on that we don't know about and we're not given to. So we live in our little echo chamber here. And whilst we're trying to police the world in the West, we are living in an echo chamber, which is what made me think. But then Will Storr did The Status Game. And what's really interesting is he starts his book by talking about, if you take a man's status or a woman's status, you take a person's status away from them, they end up having nothing to live for. And then straight after that, that guy in Plymouth started shooting up everyone. He talks about those people. They feel like they've got nothing to live for, and they shoot up schools in America and things like that. I mean, obviously the solution is to make sure there's no guns around. I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest solutions. But if you take status away, and he talks about taking people's status away in the world and everything as well, and you start looking at the world differently, I'd thoroughly recommend listening to that podcast. And
he's brilliant, Will Storr.
Yeah, and also reading his book is great. The state of really start looking at the world in a different way and thinking you've got, whatever you do, you've got to give people status. And it really made me think. I'm just gonna get really political. Not really political, just one bit.
Go and make a cup of tea.
But I think whatever the situation is, every world leader should be sitting at the table. I did a podcast with Tim Marshall recently, and he was saying we're the ones ignoring China when it comes to us happening in space. We've decided we're not speaking to China. We need to sit everybody around the table. Everyone's got to have a status in this. Everyone's got to have a dog in the race. Otherwise, you take people.
Fight.
Sorry?
Dog in the fight.
Dog in the fight.
You don't race dogs.
Yeah, you do. Maybe greyhounds.
Oh, yeah, fine, fair enough. Carry on.
You got a dog in the race. Well, maybe it's a dog in the fight, but you've got to make sure that everybody's sitting around the table, because if you take someone's status away from them, they can get desperate and do desperate things. Yeah. So, you know, I do think, you know, we need to be all the world leaders, whatever the situation of their countries are, sit around. Anyway, I'm worried about Joy Manning. Also, we had Andy Lapota on talking about business relationships. So they're all good. I must say, I'm thoroughly enjoying doing these podcasts, but the celebrity one's still... rate higher. And it really depresses me. So I did ask people.
Is that why you got me back on, Tim?
Exactly right. I did ask people to send me in, making sure that they are enjoying them, because they do, the celebrity ones do. I did Dick and Dom the other day, and that did really well. I think people love Dick and Dom. So I asked, should we do a bit of Ego Corner? Is that all right, Mark? Do you mind? So I asked people to email me in if they're still enjoying the podcast. And this one comes in from Tom, who said, just listening to your latest podcast, you said that you appreciated being told that people like your podcast. Well, I love your podcast. Have very much enjoyed listening to it for years. I think that your nature is great. I'm very much inspired by the likes of yourself. I like your balanced, level-headed, progressive, open-minded, unego personality. Bloody hell. That's
wow,
not me,
you weren't in the pub in the middle of the night.
Yes, so thanks for that. And of course, please keep your podcast going. I'm sure there are thousands out there who also get as much for your podcast. James says, just listening to your podcast and have been since the beginning of lockdown. Have given me good insight and knowledge from your guests, but also entertainment. I'm from the Socceram generation, followed you from this to the cooking program. I like both football and cooking, but not fanatical about them. But you and your guests make it entertaining, more so than the majority of the crap on TV nowadays. We're going to talk about TV in a minute. I think that might be my bit of a moan this week, is what's going on TV.
Oh, dear.
This one comes from Mr. Ribu, who says, really love the podcast, doing a variety of guests. It means so much to me, because I do sometimes think, I look at the celebrity ones, and I do like doing the celebrity ones because they're interesting to me too. But these ones where we learn stuff, I love it. And it's like, if you give me any feedback to make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
Because otherwise, you're not just shouting into the dark.
Well, I just don't want to just, I could just do celebrities forever, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of celebrities out there these days, aren't there? So I could just keep doing that. Drop me a line at lovejoyhour, lovejoyhour@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at Tim Lovejoy. Yeah, so I think my moan is streaming service, right? TV is great if you're watching Sunday brunch. There's a lot of TV. The TV habits are changing, Mark. I'm sorry, it's changing, whether you like it or not. All my mates now in the WhatsApp group, used to be football. It still is a lot of football, but it's now, what are you watching on the streaming services? Also, anyone got anything good to watch? Anyone watching anything good? And streaming services become absolutely huge, as we know. But there's too many of them now. And the problem is...
Yeah, go on.
Well, my problem is that you now, there's a load of stuff I want to watch on Apple TV. There's a new Velvet Underground documentary that I really want to watch. It's on Apple TV. I don't have Apple TV. Then there's Disney Plus. I want to watch this.
And I want to see the Beatles thing coming out this year.
Well, I want to watch The Summer of Soul, and it's on there. And I don't want to just sign up for one free month because I know for a fact
you'll forget about it.
Well, I'm going to end up with it. I already have Sky Sports, Sky Movies, BT Sports, Netflix, Amazon Prime. And I'm just getting like, there's too much good stuff out there that I want to watch, but it's being split over all the streaming services, isn't it?
It's like trying to find your keys in like 40 pockets. You're like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? What's it got? Where's it got? I can't find the thing I want.
And I don't know what, you know, my kids just go, oh, watch it illegally. And I'm like, no, I refuse to do that at the moment.
Are your daughters criminals?
They have been in the past.
Jamie, is it Jamie?
Jamie, yeah.
I've been the ringleader.
I've also been a criminal. I've done things it's always weird that, isn't it? That I've done illegal things. And
I think everybody has.
Slightly. Well, I think if you haven't, you're not really living, are you? Because you've got to do something. Even if you break the speed limit, that's criminal, I suppose. But yeah, so I just don't, I don't know about, how is it, where is it going to be? Do you think in the future you're going to have one platform you can go to and you buy some per genius program?
Yeah, some genius is going to come out with the thing where you can consolidate them all into one healthy package for £7,000 a month. And well, you can just, it's just one package where they're all, you know, consolidated.
Well, interestingly, there's people talk about micropayments. And I remember discussing micropayments years ago. And this is what happened to the music industry. So the music industry was busy selling plastic, which you put a needle on. Then they sold some plastic, which you put a laser on. Yeah. And then suddenly it was code and Napster came along and it was all free. Yeah. And then there was sort of, and music is Fergal Sharkey and everyone started to try and guilt everyone into spending money on code.
Money,
and everyone was going, hold on, I can get this stuff for free, Fergal. Yeah. You know, it's like, and he was going, you're killing the industry. And then there's sort of like a gentleman's agreement now that we'll all sign up to services and you can get every single piece of music in the world.
For nothing.
Well, yeah, it's not for nothing because you pay your subscription and as you listen to it. So the Beatles, I'm sure, are making a lot of money because they're a decent band. And it's micro payments.
What? Have you just got into them?
Well, as we discussed on the last podcast, I watched a documentary on them and I went, Jesus Christ, the Beatles are brilliant. So just before we get onto that, though, but I think have you heard about the NFT thing as well? Oh, can we bother to get into that? Where you buy a piece of digital art. Have you heard about that?
It sounds reasonably tedious.
Well, the only thing about it, which I think could be quite good, is if you are in a band, so you are, you know, John and Paul and Ringo and George, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, God, are we going to make any money out of this streaming services? Because we're up against the Rolling Stones and they might be better than us and people might be listening to us. And preempting what's coming, but if you're doing that, you could sell an NFT of your original recording of I Want to Hold Your Hand. I want to hold... Well, a terrible song that is, actually. And then you could sell it to, like, you, Mark, and you go, oh, I'll pay £1,000 for that, and they can get 250 quid each, which is more than they got for the streaming service to kickstart their career. And that's where I think it could have huge benefits. Okay, so I watched the Beatles documentary. I've gone back and I've listened to the Beatles. And we had this discussion when we were drunk the other night, weren't we? we? Because there was another guy stood there who went, yeah, I'm not really into the Beatles either. And you,
oh, Rich.
And,
yeah.
You and Chris looked like horrified that people hadn't listened to the back catalogue of the Beatles.
You think that the Rolling Stones are better than the Beatles?
Well, I'll get onto that, right? But
you thick idiot. Go on, carry on.
We're having this argument 50 years too late. But next week, Oasis versus Blur.
George Formby versus.
But yeah, see what happened years ago. You had to buy music. So who the hell would choose to buy a Beatles record? No one, but people listened to the Beatles because their parents had it. And that's my theory. So people like me, my parents didn't have the Beatles record. So I only heard them on the radio and it was, I Want to Hold Your Hand, dog shit. When you actually listen to the Beatles back catalogue, you go, holy shit, this band is unbelievably good. But you're so used to it, you don't listen to it. And then because of the documentary, I sat down and started really listening to the Beatles and went, everyone's shaking their head now at their mobile phones and their smartphones going, what the fuck is this guy talking about? It's like, everyone knows the Beatles, but you suddenly realise that they invented a style of music and that they are unbelievably cool at what they did in a very short period of time. How long was it? 7 years or something?
Yeah, 8 years. Eight years from their recordings, but they were together a couple of years before. Yeah, 10 years maybe. Yeah,
7 or 8 years, right? And you're doing that. And then the other day I'm watching the documentary.
Oh, is it the Mark Ronson thing you were telling me about?
No, I was watching Crossfire Hurricane. It was there on their 50th anniversary. They sat them all down, the original members, and they had all of them, you know, and they sat down and they chatted to them, and then they just did it over a sequence of their history of the Rolling Stones. And holy shit, that band is cool. But I didn't realize they'd done like the Take That E17 thing. They decided to make themselves bad boys against the Beatles. And so that's kind of how it sort of played out. And then
that is absolute fucking bollocks, I have to say. It really annoys me, that thing, because the Beatles, you know, Brian Epstein spent his entire career trying to cover up how bad they were, you know, how badly behaved they were. And their manager was trying to promote how really naughty they were. And they were all like lovely, like middle-class kids from, you know, the suburbs. And the Beatles they described themselves as shit kickers. And it's nonsense if you buy the PR of the Rolling Stones being bad boys, because they're not.
What you forget is they were all bad boys because they were all just doing lots of drugs. And at the time, the war on drugs had started. Yeah. And so, you know, all the stupid rules have come in. And so, you know, they were found with some, like Mick and Keith had gone and done a load of acid and they came back and the police did a raid on them.
Sergeant Pilcher, who did them all for it, planted them all because he later got put away for planting drugs on people.
Right.
So he got George, he got John, he got Mick.
So it was very rock and roll. But what was interesting about it is I sat there and then I did that classic thing, if you're a sports fan, because you've got to have a winner, you know, whatever match you watch, whatever match, you know, you're watching Dundee versus Livingston. You go, okay, which one am I supporting? You can't help yourself. And you go, I don't care, but you do. After 30 seconds, you're invested in one of them. And so after the documentary, the Beatles are about, what is that? All right, I'm going to go back in history a bit in a minute, but that what is amazing about those two bands is how influential they were. And then you think, which one do I want to be in? And I'm sorry, but I want to be in the Stones. They started with, they're a cover band, as you know, and they just started doing old blues.
They were
covers.
A cover band for the rest of their life, doing blues.
Well, they did blues, but I actually...
That's all they did.
Yeah, I know, but I prefer the music. And then, but when you say they were good guys, they weren't. I mean, the amount of footage going around. Though you want to watch that documentary because it is brilliant. Because at one stage, this bloke's interviewing Mick, and he says, just before a gig, he says, there's a tray going around with lots of white powder and pills on it. What is it? And he goes, vitamins.
Vitamins and talcum powder.
Yeah, it was really funny. But when you look at it, right, Mark, and you think, I just would love to be in that band. I'd love to be in either. But this is really interesting. So I'm listening to a podcast, I don't know why, about Fender and Gibson. Right,
I listened to that. It's right. So good, isn't it?
Right, so Leo Fender and Les Paul at Gibson. Yeah, so it's Les Paul versus
Gibson,
Leo, and they were all kind of working together.
Basically, it's the history of the electric guitar. And there was
History of the Electric Guitar. So they're the two guys who pretty much invented it. But what the best bit about that documentary was, is at the end of it, they say that they start talking about the English invasion, which we don't really know. Again, going back to Peter Frankopan, we just knew the Beatles and the Stones. In America, there was an invasion. I assume it was the Beatles, the Stones, maybe
The Who,
Kings. Yeah.
Kings until they Kings. Got Paris on TV, yeah.
Right, all that sort of stuff. So they came over. But what they said is that there was a tour, famously a summer section of tours, where Buddy Holly toured with a Gibson and Muddy Waters.
No. He toured with the Fender, just to be geeky. He played a Stratocaster. I know this.
Right, and hold on one second. Sorry, there's noise from outside. Just close the door. So, and then Muddy Waters toured with Gibson?
Possibly. Yeah. I'm not so sure.
So they said Muddy Waters came along and influenced, but the Beatles played with Gibsons, right? Or Les Pauls. And
the Beatles? The Beatles played with all sorts.
Right.
They had
the Stones. What did the Stones play with? Anyway, they were saying this tour with the electric guitar, and they said that the Stones and people like the Stones and the Beatles, I'm sure, who watched these two bands go out with their electric guitars, two different things, and it created this whole movement of young men who from Britain went, right, let's go and experiment. That's amazing, isn't
exactly.
It
is absolutely, it's absolutely extraordinary. I think it was something like 56, 57, something like that. And they just saw these electric guitars come over, and they just went, "Well, we need some of those." And then they went back and gave it to them.
and the best bit of the documentary is where they talk about the bass guitar, because I always love the bass guitar. I think that there's a lot of genres of music I don't like, because you can't really hear the bass. I like the rhythm section of bands kind of the most. And I don't like the way Bill Wyman holds his bass guitar though, up like
too
that.
Too high.
It's too just high. He's got the neck of it pointing upwards, and always just like looking that with his hair. But they were saying before the bass guitar, electric bass guitar was invented, it was all double bass.
And it completely changed music, because it gave you soul and funk and then the rock and roll and absolutely everything after that. Yeah, it was the biggest game changer in popular music.
And the other bit of the documentary, which was kind of interesting, or the podcast, was the guitar was considered as a filler instrument, not a lead instrument. It was the brass and the piano, which was the lead, and the guitar just filled the gaps. Then when the electric guitar... Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Anyway, which one would you rather be in, the Beatles or the Stones?
Oh, Beatles every single day of my life.
Are you a fan of the Stones?
They're all right. I don't mind. I don't mind them. They're okay. They don't do it for me though.
Really?
No.
What's that? All right. Tell you what. Do me a favor. Watch Crossfire Hurricane, the documentary. It's on the iPlayer, and it's really good. Watch that, and then next time we speak, next time we do one of these, we'll have a chat and see if you've changed your. Because I changed my view on the Beatles by watching that documentary. Yeah. Like, I felt so stupid that I didn't realize how absolutely important they are to culture and the world. Yeah. So ridiculously important. When we were Will Stores book, he talks about the status game. He says, it doesn't matter how much status you've got. And he talks about Paul McCartney, the most status in the world ever that man has. Everyone thinks he's amazing. Yet he spent his whole life trying to get Lennon McCartney changed to McCartney and Lennon on his song and other songs, and fighting Yoko Ono, which seems so pointless to most of us, but obviously important to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you're nothing without status, are you?
Exactly. Right. Okay, let's talk about TV. I'm going to start with something that I watch. Obviously, that documentary is great. Try that. The White Lotus, fantastic writing.
I see you told me about this. What is this?
It's you can't really give it. Nothing happens. It's brilliant. Well, something does happen, but it's just really good observation on life. Fantastic script, really good observation on how the difference in the generations in one family view the world. That's great. And just made me laugh constantly. The music on it, the script on it. I really recommend it. It's a lot of people are talking about it, but it's kind of just like a holiday. People go on holiday to Hawaii and then stuff plays out. Right. But it's the script is so great on it. So I thoroughly recommend that. 5 out of 5. What have you watched, Mark?
I've been watching the Untold series, which I've very much enjoyed.
Brilliant.
It's so good, isn't it? It's a series on Netflix about sort of from my point of view, stories I've never heard of. The Malice at the Palace, which was a basketball game that turned into a fight between the players and the crowd.
It was brilliant,
and it all comes down to who threw the pint. And it's like a sort of true crime thing. Really funny. And the other one was the Deal with the Devil. Is it Christy Martin, the boxer?
Yeah.
I have to say, I've never heard of her. And what a phenomenal fighter. I've never seen anything like... She used to go in the ring and just tear people to pieces. And then there's this whole other story that comes into it. And the twists and the turns are just extraordinary.
It is
there's one about Caitlyn Jenner, but I haven't watched it because I think, frankly, I think that family gets too much oxygen in. I can't stand them, so I don't care about that. Then there's one I haven't. I started watching last night. It's about a gangster family who bought a hockey team.
And I tell you what, Mark,
that's going to be good.
I watched that last night, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever watched. And why I love it, I've got to tell you why I love that. It's called Crime and Penalties, about a hockey team. Is it? Everyone's laughing on it. I mean, there's some horrific things which happen, and it's really fun, but everyone is laughing on it, and there's twists and turns, but they're just people are telling the story laughing, and they're all going, and this happened. And I like it, the fact that they're all laughing, because it's so ludicrous what happens. That's about an ice hockey thing, and it's absolutely fantastic. Watch that. But that whole Netflix Untold series.
It's
fantastic.
Beyond good. Yeah, yeah.
There's another thing you have to watch, is called Fantastic Fungus. It's now hit Netflix. It wasn't on it for a year. It's quite old, actually, but it's now there. Right. And it's about how mushrooms are so important to the world.
Yeah.
Also, how important they can be for humans. And there's the theory that humans were monkeys or whatever, we were primates, and we started eating mushrooms because it's a food source, as you know. It's not a vegetable or an animal, but it's a different food
source. It's a protein.
And we started eating it, and then the hallucinogenics of it were the things which expanded our minds to turn us into what we are now, humans. And they always say that all religions are based on people taking mushrooms because it gives you that. And I know this because I did the psilocybin trial, and I know what an impact it made on my life, taking that huge amount of psilocybin. And it really has changed the way I feel about life constantly. And it was funny because I took it just I still haven't done the podcast on it, if I'm honest with you. I still think they're finishing the results because they said they'd do it with me. But I did it just as the pandemic went, and I've completely changed my mind on the way I perceive the world from doing that. And I think it's quite a good thing. I still get so angry. I'm doing another podcast soon about how we should legalize drugs with a guy who's put it all together. The actual process for it to happen, because I think it's even if you really don't like heroin and cocaine and all that sort of stuff, the idea that we're not using in the documentary, there's a woman who sort of gets a real massive cure for her cancer from mushrooms, or they believe it to be that way. And there's so many people at peace with terminal illnesses by taking microdoses of psilocybin. The idea that we can't take LSD, MDMA and psilocybin is just or marijuana or cannabis, it's incredible that we're still doing this. It's like insane. You want to just go and get Boris Johnson and Keir Starmer and bang their heads together and say, like, all the shit you two are talking about, just fucking sit down with some experts and fucking legalize this shit over the next 5 years so we can actually start treating people with this medicine. It's insanity.
Completely agree with you.
Yeah. I also watched Justin Timberlake's film. I think it might be 6 or 7 years after it was out. It's called In Time. I have to point out at this stage that I've never made a movie and I can't act. So
you're going to next election, you're going to vote for Winston Churchill, aren't you?
Oh, well, I'll vote for Michael Foot. I love the concept of it. I thought it was really good.
What's it called?
In Time. And the idea is that you get paid in time and you've got time on your thing. It just needed someone to sit down with the people who made it and say, come on, let's just get this story right, because there's a I'm gonna spoil it. Someone this week, by the way, had a go at me for spoiling Sixth Sense. That was about 20 years ago, but I did it on
he's Socrates. Dead all along.
I still feel bad about that. I thought it would be funny.
He's dead. He's dead. Tim he's dead. He's dead.
Such a stupid thing. Tim, I did.
Tim he's dead.
He is, yeah. I ruined people's film entertainment enjoyment of that because I did it just before it was on TV. But it'd been in the cinema for a month or so, and I just did it. He's dead all along.
I've actually got the 1966 World Cup recorded. Anyway,
there's one bit at the end. I've got to say, if you've seen this film, that like I just wanted to throw something at the TV. So he steals a million years, right? He's got a million years he's stolen, and he decides to give it to the people in the community, which is fine, but doesn't give himself a year to finish off his mission. So within the end of the film is him running, him and his newly formed girlfriend, partner, whatever, and they're running out of time. It's like, you just got a million years. You couldn't even give yourself like 2 days just to finish your mission or like just give yourself a month, a year, whatever. You've just left yourself minutes.
Time management.
Time management. Pathetic. By the way, I haven't asked you what your moan is yet. What's your moan?
Electric scooters, Tim. They're not fit for the road. They're not fit for the pavement.
Can we just say in a minute we're going to be doing our quiz questions, so stay tuned for that because this could get boring. Right, Mark. E-scooters, go on.
I had the worst practical joke played on me the other day.
Oh,
literally
brilliant.
Yesterday. 6 or 7 utes going past in like a sort of electric scooter gang. And one of them went, "Oi, mate, you've dropped something." So I sort of pat my pockets and look behind me. And he went, "Yeah, dropped it out your ass." And I was just like, "Dude, that's crap. What the hell was that joke?" It's like, I was thinking of putting some, you know, some piano wire at neck height and going, "Oh, you've dropped something off your neck."
Terrible.
It's crap, isn't it? And my mates used to drive around throwing milkshakes at people out of the car. You go, that's better.
What it's done, though, you can tell by this, what it's done is it's given them freedom, and then freedom to shout something at you.
To shout something and go, you know, escape. Even though I could kill them all with my bare hands.
I'm fascinated by the cycle gangs we've got at the moment, all these kids on there. Mountain bikes. Have you seen them? So there's like tens of. I went past some yesterday. They're all doing wheelies down the street. I actually think
the wheelie thing.
Yeah, I actually think it's quite. They're all getting what they're doing.
How much do you want them to tip over?
Not. Do you know what? Because
I'd love it.
They do it around where I live, and I just think I don't hate it at all. I've got an e-bike, electric bike, so I go up and down all the time. Yeah, it's great. But I watch the e-people all the time on the e-scooters, and I'm fine with it. And I'm just like, why is everyone so angry?
But they're not fit for the road or the pavement.
So what? Just let them get on with it. They're going to kill themselves, not you.
What was your tedious fucking moan? What was that?
Mine was about streaming services.
There you go. Yeah. I think mine has real world consequences.
Like cars are moaning about bikes. Bikes are moaning about cars. E-scooters are moaning about. Can't everyone just get on? They can't just.
What are the quiz questions, Tim?
just like I worry that we want to control everything. And what was really interesting the other day is my mate always goes, "I hate cyclists. Get them off the road." And I'm like, "All right, why?" And he goes, "Because they don't pay tax. They don't pay road tax. So they don't deserve to be on the road." And there was an article last week, which I sent him. No one pays road tax. There's no such thing. When you're paying tax, everyone's paying road tax, basically. If you're paying.
There's a quiz coming up.
If you're paying income tax, you're paying road tax. Like national insurance, right? Road tax, VAT, and income tax all goes into the same pot.
Is
what you've got to know. It's just different ways of taxing you.
I've actually got a meeting about 10 minutes after that.
The only tax that goes to the actual tax is the license fee tax, which is ridiculous. It's not means tested, but the BBC license fee tax is the only one. All the others, they just go in one big pot and then Boris and his mates decide where it's spent. So you are paying tax if you do that. I've got a lovely tweet, Mark. So I'm going to quickly do this off Nick.
I thought we'd reversed out of Ego cul-de-sac.
No, it's
we're backing on.
It's good. He said, he tweeted me the other day and said, my girlfriend's gone out to buy some eggs for breakfast tomorrow, and we've ordered a Nando's to be delivered. What will come first, the chicken or the eggs? And I just, that really amused me. I don't know why. Thank you.
That's because you like the Rolling Stones, Tim.
And then if 36 minutes later, oh no, it wasn't 36, it was 14 minutes later, he tweets me, breaking news, the chicken won, well done. Mrs. and the eggs have been waylaid, no pun intended. And I love that, because now we have, I mean, it's via Twitter, it's via Nando's and buying eggs, but the chicken comes first. That's what you get from it. I've also got another tweet, which is...
Did you hear that Sandy Toksvig joke?
No.
There's a chicken and an egg in bed, and the chicken lights up the cigarette and says, well, that answers that question.
Good, like it. Stefan tweeted, what's the best stage, or are they all great? And this is something I've been doing a lot of reading recently, a lot of philosophy, loads of sort of Eastern philosophy and stuff, which I'm really enjoying. I think they're onto something, but I'm really enjoying reading lots of different forms of this stuff. And what I realized is that someone was saying that you've got to make sure I'm quoting this appallingly. This isn't very Eastern the way I'm going to put it, but you've got to make sure you're playing the right game. And so you play the game at the age you are. So if you're 50, in your 50s, like I am, right? Early 50s. If you're in your early 50s, like, but I want to play the game for 20-year-old, I'm not going to, let's not use the word win. I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm going to be rubbish. So this is, and it's great. You know, you can only perform at the age you're playing at. So your game should be, and I believe this in a lot of aspects, look at the game. We talked about it with Andy Lapota about this as well, but make sure you're playing the correct game. And I think that is where you talk about your Kardashians. You talk about your Kardashians.
The Kardashians.
When you're sticking your Botox in your face and everything, that is you playing the wrong game, because you're trying to play young. You're never going to be as attractive. Your skin is never going to be as nice and plump as a 20-year-old.
I don't want to look like them. I just don't care about them. It's a different, I know. I'm playing a different game.
Exactly. Exactly. But sadly, I think a lot of people are playing the wrong game. And I think that's why there's a lot of unhappy people out there. People are trying to stay young. And I think it takes me back to the hair transplant thing. And I've always wondered why I got up. You were with me that day and I went really, and you went, you don't look comfortable at all. I remember. And I was like, I'm not. And then I always wonder why it was. And I wonder if I had that realization that I was playing a stupid game to try and keep my hair when I haven't got it. So,
yeah.
There you go. Right, let's do our quiz questions. Do you want to go first? Yeah, you do. You go first.
Okay. Okay, Tim. These may or all may not be linked.
Well, they're clearly linked.
But they may or may not be linked. That's what I'm saying.
Well, clearly they are, because otherwise you wouldn't say that.
Question one.
Yeah.
What was the name of the code word and operation title given to the capturing and or killing of Osama bin Laden? Don't shout out. Just wait.
I don't know.
Put a question mark by that one. Don't shout out the answers. How is Mezeclero Chiricua, the leader and renowned medicine man from the Bendonakoe band of Apache from 1850 to 1886, better known as?
Oh, of course I know that one. What the fuck?
Right, wait, just wait.
Big something.
Which public house chain, this is question three, which public house chain, a parent company of Young's Brewery, own and run all the pubs over the south of England, including the Bull in Streatham and the Eagle in Shepherd's Bush?
They own all the pubs?
No, they own some pubs, sorry. It's a parent company of Young's Brewery, right, okay. Question four. What was the name of the alpaca put to death this week after a very public 4-year row?
I know that one.
Right, now look at the other ones.
Is it Geronimo?
What's the matter with you? How do you not know how to play this game?
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. And finally, question five. Who said this? I've always said the best signing that Liverpool ever made was Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, are they all Geronimo? What?
Right.
What's the idea? I don't get it. What is it? Quiz with no answer.
Shall I give you the answers?
Well, it depends. Have I got, do I have to do what? Why am I not doing the answers? I know one of them. It's Geronimo, and the other one's Alan Hansen.
So, what was the name of the code word and operation title given to the capturing and/or killing of Osama bin Laden?
Geronimo.
There we go. How is the leader and renowned medicine man of the Ben Dudkowi band of Apache people from 1850 to 1866 better known?
Geronimo.
Which public house chain, a parent company of the Brewers, own pubs all over England, including the Bull in Streatham and the Eagle in Shepherd's Bush?
Geronimo.
What was the name of the alpaca put to death this week after a very public four-year row?
Geronimo.
Who said this? I've always said the best signing that Liverpool ever made was Kenny Dalglish.
Alan Hansen.
No. It was the player, coach, manager, Liverpool Football Club, original gangster, the OG Ronnie Moran.
Oh, is that
Ronnie
your
Moran?
Have you done all that just to try and do that joke?
Yes.
Do you know what Geronimo means? I'm just going to ignore it. You confuse
the
me.
The OG Ronnie
Moran. OG Ronnie Moran. Ridiculous. Do you know what Geronimo means?
Yes.
What?
I don't know.
It's a way to express excitement or happiness, usually when doing something adventurous. He was an Apache Native American leader.
Yes. Renowned medicine man.
Geronimo. So I suppose which came first? I suppose him. And then they went, Geronimo.
Did. Yes.
Yeah. Do you want Mike? Have you finished? Shall I do my quiz questions?
I've got three more puns. No, I haven't.
That was amazing. Amazingly bad. Right. Okay. I'm going back to the theme that I did before and I like it. So, we're doing this. It's an adventure. It's a quiz adventure. Okay, so you're on a night out with Liam Gallagher. Okay, you've had a couple of beers, and then he says, "I'm going to make this drink," and he mixes. Oh Christ! I've forgotten what it is. Hold on. Just like bear with me because I went through.
Seamless. Absolutely seamless.
Just wait there. I've just forgotten which one it is.
Did he mix gin with tonic?
Oh, okay. I've got it.
Keeps you supersonic.
Right. Oh, I thought it was that, but I was just checking because I went through a few last night when I was writing this. Right, he's mixed gin with cherry brandy, with Benedictine, with Angus bitters, with pineapple and lime juice. He's going to make a classic cocktail, and he's garnishing it with pineapple and cherry in the sunshine. And he says, "Mark, do you like that?" And you go, "Yeah, I like it." And he goes, "What is it?" And you go, it is?
I have no idea. I would say an Hawaiian.
Very good, but wrong. It's a Singapore sling.
Ah, okay. You That's a lot of ingredients in that.
You then fall asleep. It's basically gin and cherry brandy, I think, with a bit of pineapple juice. You're on a night out with him, so you've had a fantastic time. He's given you something, and you've like, whoa, you're tripping. And you've woken up the next day and you know you've been on an aeroplane and you've woken up in a tent and you look out and you see Victoria Falls, Mark. Where are you?
Am I in South Africa?
No.
Am I in Australia?
You're in the right area in the first one, but you could be in two countries because it's the border of two countries, which I didn't know until last night.
So basically you've sold me a dud here because there's two answers.
But I'm going to give you a correct answer for either one. I'm going to pretend you're in whatever one you say you're in.
Victoria
Falls. You're in the right continent.
It's at the end of the Nile, isn't it?
Absolutely no idea, but you're in the right continent. I've got a funny feeling. Yeah, you are in Africa. That's correct. I want to know what country you're in.
I'm going to go back in the tent, I think.
Okay, you could
sleep off this mega Singapore sling hangover that I've clearly got.
You're on the Zimbabwe-Zambia border. That's right. Where you are, Victoria Falls. And then he says, Mark, have you had enough? And you, being Mark, go, not a chance, Liam. Let's do some more gear and drink and get drunk. And he goes, all right, but we need to get a plane. So you go to the airport, you're absolutely off your tits, and you get on the aeroplane and you get to the other end.
I'm in flashbacks.
Do you remember this? You're both wearing a parka, you're both strolling down the road, and you see Manny, and you go, all right, Manny. But you've arrived in America, and there you are. And you're like woken up in a hotel, and you look at your hotel and you can see in front of you Alcatraz. What city are you
San
in?
San Francisco.
San Francisco, Mark. That's correct. You've got 1 out of 3. Liam says, I'm hungry. I've got the munchies. So he says, I'm going to make
I reply, eating's cheating.
Eating's cheating. Get some more of this alcohol, goddamn alcohol, down your throat. But Liam says, no, I'm going to make some food. So I'm going to put in the pot and make this dish. I'm going to take heart, lungs, and liver from a lamb, right. Not in a sacrificial way. I've got it from a butcher's. I'm going to take some beef and I'm going to take suet. And I'm going to take oatmeal. I'm going to take black pepper, nutmeg, coriander seeds, and fine salt. And I might also put ox bung in it, whatever the hell ox bung is. And I'm going to mix it all together. And he goes, and this is something that I really like eating. What am I eating?
I mean, it sounds like we're in Scotland and we're eating haggis.
Oh, yes, Mark. Yes. That's correct. What is an ox bung?
I don't know. It doesn't sound good, though, does it?
No.
Sounds like some sort of cork. I was momentarily thrown by the addition of coriander, which I know is one of your favorite ingredients.
Yeah, coriander seeds I'm all right with, actually. For some reason, coriander seeds, because they're always crushed up into things. The greeny leaf bit crap I can't eat. But like I love this dish. I really like haggis a lot.
It's absolutely delicious.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not a fan of offal.
I'm a pretty big fan of offal, I would say. Black pudding is delicious.
Black pudding, yeah, I love black pudding, but I don't
like offal.
Well, I like that, but that's sort of blood.
Calf's liver's nice.
I don't like calf's liver.
There's only two things in the world that I won't eat because of flashback memories, which are snails and frog's legs. I can't eat them.
I've eaten both. I eat frog's legs. By the way, the quiz isn't over. I've still got 2 questions.
These people have got places to go to.
I was in Poznan in Poland, and it was when the money was just fluctuating because it was sort of the end of the Eastern Bloc. And I think I took 50 quid over there and it was a struggle to spend it. And we did this really crass thing. We're in a restaurant and we ordered pretty much all the interesting things on the menu to try. Yeah. And on it was frog's legs. We're saying like this 70s hotel. I was out there doing basketball, I think, looking at some...
Was it futuristic at the time?
Basketball finals. No, it was really old-fashioned, but the basketball finals, Real Madrid versus Panathinaikos, the Greek team. And I can't believe the atmosphere there. It was incredible. The European basketball is phenomenal. If you ever get a chance to go and watch it, it's obviously not as good as the NBA. They're doing all right, but it's just the atmosphere. It's like a football stadium. And the Real Madrid fans support their basketball team too. Right. So you're in Liam now. You're in Scotland, and you're in. Are you in Scotland? No, you come back to. Let's say you come back to London. So you've got a.
Let's get our story straight.
It's a Thursday, and you're kicking towards the weekend. You're at Liam's house, and he's got his guitar out, and he's gone, Mark,
can you tune it for me?
Mark, I've written a song. I've got the lyrics sorted, and he goes, listen to this. I think you're going to love it. And you say, I think that might be familiar. But he goes, no, honestly, I wrote it, I slept it, and I dreamt it. And the lyrics are this: living is easy with eyes closed, misunderstanding all you see. And you go, no, Liam, you fuckwit. No, you don't, because you speak like Mark. No, Liam, you fuckwit. That is a song by
The Beatles.
The Beatles, well done. And it is.
I can't believe you asked. Strawberry Fields.
Strawberry Fields, correct. You get a point there. Finally, you go, we've had a lovely time, Liam, but I've got to go back home now. I've got things to do. I've got to do my podcast with Chris and Nick and everything else. I'm going to have to leave you. And he says, who's going to pay? And you go, you're the rock and roll star and you've got a lot of money. And he says,
and my friend Tim isn't here.
My friend
Tim to cut the bill.
And he said, pass me. Oh, no, I've given it away. Oh, okay. And he goes, pass me the that'll do nicely. And you went, what's that? And you go, that's the catchphrase for my credit card. Which credit card is it, Mark?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Because that's from the 80s, isn't it? I sort of half remember this thing.
That'll do nicely.
That'll do nicely. Can I have two answers just in case one of them is wrong?
Of course, I have six if you want.
Is it American Express or
yes?
Is it Visa? Yay!
So what'd you get? One, two, you got out of San Francisco. You out of six, you got four. You did well. Slow start, but then
it sounds also like I have a banging headache.
You had a great day out with
like some terrific air miles
with Liam. That was a fantastic night out with Liam, or there was a whole week out with Liam. I enjoy doing those. That's
a good. It's good. You really bring some colour to the quiz.
It's well. Hopefully, people are imagining you in a tent with Liam. he's been giggy again, hasn't he?
He is. I actually watched his. Reading Leeds set last night. Oh, it was terrific. He's just got the coolest hair and the coolest sunglasses ever.
Still going, isn't it?
Man, he's so cool.
That is actually the thing I've got to say with the Stones, just going back to that documentary. They were so cool, the way they dress. And you know, they at the beginning, with they sort of had that Beatles stuff going on with the suits, trying that out. But they soon got rid of that and they just sort of ended up being very cool. They were wearing fur coats and stuff all the time. But the Beatles also did that, you know, in fairness. But they just started looking cool and cool till they got to the 80s. And then suddenly they're in like leggings with knee pads and stuff and baseball cap. He's like, what the fuck are you wearing? You look ridiculous.
And Mick Jagger starts to look like a fish that you'd find at the deepest depths of the Mariana Trench.
Do you know what about Mick is doing it? He says some really wise things, even years ago, you know, when he was a young person. He also looked amazing. They look amazing, those guys. But the thing about all those bands is how they sort of aged really well, don't you think? I mean, that's probably a stupid thing to say. We just know them so well, we think they age really well. Anyway, Mark, that's the end of this podcast. Thoroughly enjoyed the Monday, Mark. Thank you so much for joining me today. And let's do it again soon, shall we?
Absolutely. I enjoyed it very much. And I also very much looking forward to going for another pint with you, because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's do it soon. Hey, if you want to email in lovejoyhour@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at Tim Lovejoy. Let us know what you think of this as well, whether you want me to do more of these or whether you want me to just get rid of the, you know, Mark and just do celebrities. All right. Time being, peace and love, Joy.
Bye.